Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, December 10th, 8:05 Central Time, and we are celebrating 90 years of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ this week. And through the end of January, we started back in November, 90 days to celebrate 90 years of God's good gifts, God's blessings, and giving us the opportunity to tell the good news of Jesus Christ. And we want to invite you to be a part of that too. We've been finding all kinds of ways, seeking all kinds of ways to invite you to be a part of that with us. And coming up Monday, December 15th, we have a special open house here at the Worldwide KFUO studios at the LCMS International Center, located in Kirkwood, Missouri. It all begins with a special service in the chapel at 10 a.m. here at the International Center, and President Matthew Harrison will be preaching, I believe, at that service. And after the service, a short reception and an opportunity to visit the studios and see our history exhibit here in the lobby at the International Center. So hopefully you can join us. If you can't make it at 10, you're welcome to come by any time during the day up until 4 p.m. to visit the studios and see our history exhibit here in the International Center. So that's coming up Monday, December 15th. I hope you can join us. You can find out more at kfuo.org. You can click on the 90th anniversary page there on kfuo.org, and it'll have details about celebrating 90 years and how you can be a part of that. So go check it out, kfuo.org. You can also see some photos on facebook.com/kfuoradio. Go check us out there as well. Well, it is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Joining me in studio this morning, Professor Ben Haupt from Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. Good morning, Professor Haupt.
Good morning, Andy.
It's good to get to reconnect with you. We have a little bit of a history going back to when that was. How many years?
98.
Wow. So if I were to do my math, that's like what, 15 years ago?
15, 16 years, yeah.
Wow. Goodness gracious. Met at Camp Luther Haven in Albion, Indiana, working there during the summer, and also where I met my lovely bride.
That's
and
right.
you had the opportunity to work with her one more year there at Camp Luther Haven, I believe, after I moved on.
Right.
You all had another summer there. I'm sure it wasn't nearly as fun as the summer with me,
right?
No,
right,
Camp Luther Haven, great place to serve. Now you're serving at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, a professor there and director of library services. Is that correct?
Right.
Did I get the title right?
You've got it. Director of Library Services.
Wonderful. Well, tell us, what are you up to these days at Concordia Seminary?
There are a lot of things that that Concordia Seminary keeps me busy with, which is a good thing. So one of my main roles is the Director of Library Services, and in addition to kind of overseeing the day-to-day operations, which are ably and very well handled by the staff of the library, I oversee a lot of the strategic planning, big initiatives. So we're preparing for what we hope is a renovation coming up in the next few years, maybe. And we've been doing some preliminary work for that. Still having some conversations about that. We're trying to help the library, even though we have lots and lots and lots of books. And I always have to remind people that we believe that books are not going away. We're not going to throw away all the good books of the library, especially the Bach Bible and the Chemnitz Lotzi first editions. Those sorts of things are they're here to stay. But we're also helping the library into kind of the digital 21st century and buying ebooks and all those kind of things. Then the seminary has me teaching. I teach in the practical department, and lots of other things going on. Working on a PhD as well. So,
you are a very busy man. Now, as director of library services, I'm sure that from time to time you get requests for additions to the library. You know, another piece to add to the collection there at the library. What is the most unique or unusual request for a piece for the library that you've received so far? See, I made you think.
Oh, you did make me think. Yeah, stump the librarian or something like that. Well, since I've been there, we had recently some things that have been offered to the seminary library from past professors and past workers in the church, and those are always exciting things to have. So recently Reverend Dr. Lewis Brighton. Much of his library was donated to the seminary and was opened up to students and professors. And so I was digging through these boxes and partially looking for some stuff for myself, but also always having an eye on what's going on. And I saw Dr. Brighton, who was a longtime professor of New Testament, I saw his notes from Hebrew class from 1950. And so here he is as a student, and he's taken all these notes. And it was a great artifact to show how Hebrew was being taught at Concordia Seminary way back in the day. So we grabbed that and put it in the rare book room.
Neat, neat. And you know, he is graciously still teaching. He teaches Bible classes from time to time at congregations around the area here.
Absolutely. And through his commentary on Revelation and much other work, his teaching continues on.
Well, very good. Glad that things are going well at the library and always getting new additions, and excited about the big renovation or the big changes coming up as well. Well, let's take a look at our study for today. We're looking at 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 21 today. Anything you'd like for us to know about this text before we dig in? Any context you want us to understand?
Yeah, I mean, I think This is we can say this is written by the Apostle John. We have no reason to doubt that. Critical scholarship, of course, in the late 20th century had all kinds of theories that there were all kinds of Johns. But the early church tells us that this was the same author as the Gospel of John. And I have no reason to disbelieve the early church. They were much closer to the events. So the Apostle John, who writes the Gospel of John, who writes the book of Revelation, is also writing these letters, and writing them into a context in Asia Minor, which is today Turkey, in a very diverse culture, a very diverse religious landscape, and that fits well with our day, and that I think is going to help us as we look into the text. John is keenly aware that there are lots of people who believe lots of different stuff than what the apostles are teaching. So,
but we don't have any like that today.
No diversity at all, right? No. We're all believe the same thing in America.
We all believe the truth.
Right.
Well, we are studying 1 John chapter 4 today, verses 1 through 21 with Professor Ben Haupt from Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, Missouri. If you have questions or comments, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, KFUO at KFUO.org, as we're digging into 1 John chapter 4 today. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. All right, let's take a look at this. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. It begins with beloved.
Yeah, that's an important word. I think it's much like the way I talk with my children, right? Sometimes I need to instruct my two boys. Aiden is 7 and Noah is 4. And sometimes I need to have a serious conversation with them about life and about what they're doing. But I first will oftentimes remind them, sometimes even need to remind myself, that I love them and that any kind of fatherly instruction comes from this this fatherly love. I think also reminding the people that are going to hear this that John is talking to Christians, and there's no reason for them to doubt the fact that they are in Christ, or that they are, as he puts it, from God.
So this is how you begin your conversations with your boys as well. Beloved, let's sit down and talk about this.
That's right. Agape toi. I even used the Greek.
Well, and thanks for bringing up the Greek there, agape toi. What type of love is this that when he calls them beloved?
Yeah, so as listeners may know, there are several different words for love in Greek. Agape toi is this unconditional love, or this God love, that we can't even as humans generally approximate even. So it's not brotherly love. It's not any sort of erotic love. It's it's not like, hey, you're my friends, or hey, buddy. It's beloved, much like the word that would be used throughout the scriptures as God talks to his people.
Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. There are all kinds of things out there. Don't believe everything you hear. Test the spirits.
Yeah, this word test in Greek is dokimazo, and I was reading in the Concordia, the New Concordia commentary from Dr. Bruce Schuckard, one of my colleagues at Concordia Seminary, and he has this footnote where he says that dokimazo, or to test the spirits, is what people would do with coins. They would test to see if it was a counterfeit coin. And so we're to do the same with people that are, for example, on the radio talking. We should always be tested to see if we're counterfeit or if we're the real deal.
So we should always be testing. And how do we know this? How do we do this? Well, let's go on to verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world. So how do you know what's godly, what is of God, and what is of not is not of God?
Yeah, the issue is, what do you say about Jesus, right? So there were lots of prophets going out, and lots of religious teachers, much like there are today. Your listeners can hear different kinds of religious teachers all over the place, on TV, on the radio. I have a quote from the Didache, which is ancient Christian document written by Christians shortly after, or maybe even at the very same time as much of our New Testament writings. And in Didache 12, it has these words to say, and I think this is kind of interesting context. It says, "Welcome anyone coming in the name of the Lord. Receive everyone who comes in the name of the Lord. But then," and here's the same word that 1 John uses, "test them and use your discretion. If he who comes is a transient, assist him as you are able, but he should not remain with you for more than 2 or 3 days." Right? Fish and visitors stink after 3 days. But then it says, "If he wants to stay with you and is a craftsman, let him work for his living. If he has no trade, use your judgment in providing for him, for a Christian should not live idle in your midst. If he is dissatisfied with this sort of arrangement, he is a Christ peddler. Watch that you keep away from such people." We should be asking people who are teaching, what do you say about Jesus? And we should be very wary of people that just have their hand out all the time, but rather listen for people that talk about Jesus, especially about his flesh. That's what John says, that Jesus Christ came in the flesh.
And that is key. And that's what, this very season that we're approaching, the Christmas, the time of Christmas, is about Jesus coming in the flesh, right?
Yeah. I had a professor, a teacher at Concordia Seminary, and he may very well even be listening this morning. Norman Nagel, Dr. Nagel, was fond of quoting Luther, who would say, "I know of no other God than the babe laid in the arms of the Virgin, and the one who stretched out his arms on the cross, and the one who told Thomas, 'Put your hand in my flesh.'" So this fleshy Jesus, that's all the God that I know.
Very good. This fleshy Jesus, this Jesus who comes in human flesh. Verse 4, "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. you are from God. You've overcome them. This isn't something that has to overcome you. You've overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world.
Yeah, and so I think John is saying there really are, at the end of the day, only two spirits. Those from God who confess Jesus in the flesh, and those who are ultimately of the devil, who are from Satan himself.
Mm-hmm.
The great news for Christians is that we who have the Spirit of God, who confess Jesus as Lord, have overcome Satan, have overcome all these spirits. So even if numbers of different religions are growing, or mm-hmm. Sometimes the Christian church looks like it's beat down and tired, we have this great promise that our spirit is, the spirit that we have is greater than the spirit of Satan.
He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world.
Yeah.
They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So they're from the world. Don't listen to them. The world listens to them and follows them. The world, they speak in worldly ways. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us.
And I think this is good instruction as we think about this word spirit. John keeps on talking about the spirits, and this teaches us, too, a little bit about the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Luther was keen on always pointing people that the Spirit is the one who works through the Word. The Spirit is the one who works through these very physical means. The Spirit isn't some sort of a feeling or some emotion or something that's kind of drifting above us that we can't ever quite get a hold of. The Spirit is the one who uses the words of God to do his work. So it's the Spirit is always tied to the flesh of Jesus. So we should be always looking for the Spirit to be at work in these concrete ways.
He has promised to meet us in specific ways, and we can trust that promise. Very good. And by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Mm.
Yeah, so there again we see that there really are only two spirits. The spirit of truth and the spirit of error is the
not
the
truth.
Spirit of, yeah, the not truth, the not truthy spirit.
Very good. Well, let's go to the listener lines. Let's go to Mike here in St. Louis. Good morning, Mike.
How are you doing today, Andy?
Great.
Well, my question is, you guys are always talking about spirits, but when I hear the word spirits, I think of ghosts. So, I mean, is that just some archaic term? Or, I mean, I know you guys gave a little explanation on it, but, I mean, does it refer to just, like, philosophy or something? Or or is it actually, you know, but, I mean, to me it sounds like ghosts.
Good question. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for your call. Professor Haupt, are they ghosts? Are they, what, is there a difference between spirit and ghosts here?
You know, it's a great question. I think in our American context, especially in our secularized context, I'm not talking about Christians here, but just our culture in general, mostly Americans in general will say that ghosts don't exist. And I don't hear the Apostle John saying that. I hear the Apostle John saying that these spirits, these heavenly beings, do exist, and we should be aware that they exist, and we should always be testing them.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody has a ghost story and they're telling it, the question might be, did the ghost talk? And if the ghost talked, did you ask the ghost, what do you think about Jesus Christ who came in the flesh? So there's a good way to test ghost stories. Do ghosts exist? I don't know, but I think that spirits, that evil demons certainly exist,
sure.
And they're all over the place.
I suppose it depends on how we define ghost. I mean, I remember confessing the creed and the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
That's right.
And we still sing that in the doxology, too, as well. Well, we need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying 1 John chapter 4 today with Professor Ben Haupt from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Hope you can stick around for more of our study of the daily New Testament reading right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
All of us here at KFUO invite you to our open house on Monday, December 15th. Beginning at 10 a.m., join the Lutheran Church Missouri Senate President Matthew Harrison with a special KFUO chapel service. Following the service, we'll have a reception with cake, coffee, and punch. And while you're here, visit the studios and see our KFUO history exhibit with many historic items on display. If you can't make it at 10, that's okay. You're welcome to join us anytime during the day up until 4 p.m. to visit the studios and the history display. So mark your calendars today and come and celebrate our 90-year anniversary with us during our open house on Monday, December 15th. KFUO, located at the International Center of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, 1333 South Kirkwood Road in St. Louis. KFUO, the world's oldest Christian radio station, celebrating 90 years of broadcasting the gospel. We are the messenger of good news.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are studying the daily New Testament reading today with Professor Ben Haupt from Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. And we're in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 21 today. Professor Haupt, anything else about that first section up through verses 1 through 6 in chapter 4 before we go on to the next section that that you wanted us to know?
No, I'm ready. I'm ready to tackle the next section.
All right, here we go. Back to Beloved. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. All right. Well, we begin again with Beloved.
Yeah, Beloved. And I think it fits that these two sections start with that word. It reminds me of Jesus' words that there are really only two commandments: love God, mm-hmm. and love your neighbor as yourself. And so, how do we love God? We love God by believing His Son that He sent into the world. That's what the Gospel of John says. So that this first part, the first verses that we looked at, really are how do we love God? And now we're going to talk about how do we begin to love one another.
How do we love our neighbor? For love is from God, and whoever has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Now, every time that I hear this passage, God is love, it takes me back to the 90s when a popular TV talk show host used this phrase in a segment she called Remembering Your Spirit. And she would quote this, God is love, but I think she forgot the rest of the text about the incarnation.
Yeah, because
then she started talking about how if we are love, then we are God. And
dangerous, slippery slope there. Test the spirits.
It was a dangerous, slippery slope. But the funny thing, well, I guess it's not funny. The sad thing is that so many people idolize this talk show host. I think we all figured out who we're talking about here. She no longer hosts one on national broadcast TV. But anyway, so people would hear this and say, oh, she's talking about the Bible. God is love. That's from the Bible, what she's saying. And then automatically we slip into this mode of, well, what she's saying must be true, because she's referring to the Bible.
Right. And in John's day, there were people referring to the Bible too. The Gnostics loved to quote the scriptures. But if you listened closely to them, the Gnostics especially were not confessing that Jesus Christ had come in the flesh. They weren't so interested mm-hmm. in Jesus' flesh. They were interested in all these spiritual things. And we live in this postmodern culture where people are very interested in all these different kinds of spiritualities and all this New Age stuff. I'm interested in the flesh of Jesus Christ, the one who actually stretched out his arms on a physical cross and had nails put in them, who rose from the dead and let people touch his flesh. That's the kind of That's the only way to God that we know, right?
If I had a dollar for every time I heard someone in person or on TV or on the radio say, I'm spiritual but not religious, I would be a very wealthy man.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know what that means.
It's a common buzz phrase today. I'm spiritual but not religious. We want to imply that we are that we have some sort of spirituality that will hopefully get us into eternity and eternal bliss, that sort of thing. But we certainly don't want to really study anything. We don't want to hear God's word, and we certainly don't want to acknowledge that God came in the flesh.
Right. Speaking of that word spirituality, we do have a great resource as Lutherans that was recently put out, this book, Grace Upon Grace by John Kleinig, which paints a Lutheran spirituality in the midst of all these other spiritualities. But it's full of sound doctrine. It points people over and over again to Jesus. And as a pastor, I used that one time for a Lenten series and based all my Lenten messages over Grace Upon Grace. And we read that at the seminary as a good example of what Lutheran spirituality looks like.
It's all about grace.
It's all about grace, and it's all about Jesus.
I thought for a minute, I thought you were going to refer to Spirituality of the Cross.
Also a good book.
Yeah.
Another good book.
Another good one. And that one's a pretty short read. It's not too long, but really gets to the heart of what true spirituality is all about.
I gave that book out a lot as a pastor, and I always am going to look for my copy and think, oh, I gave another copy away to somebody.
Usually that's a book that I give to college students, high school students.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. I think, where did we leave off?
So this whole issue of love, we got talking about beloved, but Luther was famous for really loving, especially this portion of the New Testament. He referred to the Epistle of James, as we know, as an epistle of straw, and he was frustrated with James talking about works, and he said, "I would rather that people read the book of 1 John, which puts the whole." The message to Christians of how they should treat one another in the context of love. And Luther was much more interested in talking about love rather than talking about works.
Love. And then again, this goes back to that word love that has several different... It's translated into love in English, but when we look at the Greek here, in these cases, it's almost always agape, right?
That's right. It's... agape toi, that's those who are loved. And then the word love one another is agapomen. That's a commandment to more than one person. Love each other. So it uses this word agape over and over and over again through this section. And agape is this kind of sacrificial love. So this isn't a kind of Hallmark card, mushy love. This is... I'm willing to lay down my life for you. I'm willing to suffer for the sake of my brother or sister in Christ.
Very good. So in this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation, not a word we use every day, but there's so much packed into that word, isn't there?
There is, absolutely. So the sacrifice, or the one that appeases the wrath of someone. So God's wrath was appeased. God is no longer angry with us who are in Christ, because Christ took on all that wrath in his body. We certainly celebrate that word.
Very good. All right. Well, anything about this? I forgot verses 11 and 12. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. So if God loves us, if he loved us in this way, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another.
Yeah, I think we love this as Lutherans, and this sounds very much like this theme that we're saying over and over again. And I think this is why Luther loved this book, that John is pointing us not to our own love and not to test ourselves or measuring our own love, but rather not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And that is that's the place where it starts, is his divine initiation, his first act.
No one has ever seen God.
those are important words. I wrote a whole STM thesis on John 1:18. No one has ever seen God, and this is an echo of that, one of those beginning verses of the Gospel of John. I think it's important that we say that no one has ever seen God.
But if Jesus is God, did no one ever see Jesus?
Well, so the early church fathers talked about this quite a bit. I was taking a look at, I've been studying Tertullian these days, and he talks about how no one has ever seen God the Father. God the Father is not able to be seen. And so here from the very early days, we have early Christians who are in very sophisticated ways talking about the Trinity. As we know, Tertullian came up with this word, Trinity, Trinitas.
Because if I recall correctly, well, I have two points with this. First, if no one has seen God the Father, who did Moses encounter on the mountain?
Jesus, or the pre-incarnate, Son of God. So Irenaeus, Tertullian, they all love to point out how what seem to be sightings of God or sightings of the angel of God in the Old Testament are actually sightings of the pre-incarnate Christ, so that whenever we see God, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, as it says in Colossians.
Secondly, I have encountered some from another religion, another confession of faith, but talking about Jehovah's Witnesses, you usually would use this text, no one has ever seen God, to say that, well, if that's the case, then Jesus wasn't true God.
Which is, as we know, the Jehovah's Witnesses, among others, have a very different view of the Trinity than we do. And those are groups that we ought to test the spirits. Not only does John say, ask them what they believe about Jesus. Did he come in the flesh? But also, was he from God? So even First John has these two natures of Christ that we talk about still today.
So if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfect. All right, this last section, we're ready to go on?
Yeah,
all right.
Let's do it.
By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is also, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. All right. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit.
Yeah, that's the Spirit of God is this life-giving Spirit, the Lord of life, and then he says in verse 14, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son. I think it's important that we recognize that people like us today in the 21st century, I, Ben Haupt, have never seen Jesus physically, right? So I have to listen to the apostle, John, who saw Jesus in the flesh. And I take John's word, I take John's testimony, his witness, that he saw Jesus. So whenever people say today, well, I've just seen Jesus, or they sing this song, have you seen Jesus, my Lord? Well, in fact, no, I have not. But I take the apostles at their word because they saw eyewitness testimony that Jesus rose from the dead, and they speak with the very words of God.
By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Here we have this word confess.
Yeah, it's this, the Greek word is homologeo, to same say, to speak the same word, so to talk like God, or to talk like the Scriptures talk, to speak those words to all people, to even speak those words in the presence of other people.
To speak together the words that Jesus is the Son of God, as the Scriptures speak that Jesus is the Son of God.
That's right. When we confess in the creeds, for example, we are saying to each other and to all the rest of the world, here is what we believe.
Jesus is the Son of God. Second article, right?
Second article.
So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. We've come to know and believe the love that God has for us.
Yeah, and this to get into this love a bit, I think John invites us to do this radical thing, which is to do something for somebody else that costs us something. And the world might say, well, there's nothing to be gained in that. And John says, exactly. It is something from God. So when you, dear Christian, pour out your life on behalf of another person, when you think more highly of someone else, when you sacrifice your own needs and your own possessions for somebody else or for the cause of the gospel, you are doing something that is from God. So love is something that we should embrace and fully charge forward, even if it costs us something.
I hate to do this, but we are out of time. Can we summarize the last few verses here? By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother.
So Jesus' commandment, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. They go together. All the law and the prophets, everything hangs on these two laws. You don't do one or the other. You don't love God or your neighbor. So the way of the New Testament, the way of the Apostle John, the way of Jesus is to love God and love our neighbor.
Amen. We've been studying the daily New Testament reading today with Professor Ben Haupt from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Professor Haupt, thanks so much for being our guest on His Time this morning. I'm so sorry we ran out of time.
Good to be with you.
Coming up in just a little bit, Witness Wednesday with the Reverend Mark Wood, Director of Witness and Outreach for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Stick around for more His Time right after this break on Worldwide KFUO.